Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
It's not just our flesh that's being cleansed, it's our heart that has been cleansed and sanctified. So how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know, the reason most people, like I was giving that illustration, you would shout and praise God, I believe God raises the dead, but I say, you come down here and do it. It's your conscience that condemns you because you know that you haven't done everything right. You know why you have more faith in my prayers than you have in your prayers? It's because you know you better than you know me. If you knew me as well as you know you, you wouldn't have any more faith in my prayers than you got in your prayers. But see, you don't know all the stuff that I've done wrong. And so you see a minister up here and you see me on television and you think, oh, he's got his act together. He must be living holy. You know you and you know you aren't holy. You may be holier than you were, but you know what? You still aren't perfect. And the moment you get to thinking that I got to be holy before God will use me, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's a master at showing you things wrong. I remember one time I fasted and prayed and I read all of the New Testament except one book in the New Testament in one day. I fasted, I prayed, and I was feeling so good about myself, like, God, I know you're going to use me. And you know what? The thought came to me, you were up 17 hours. You only spent 16 hours reading the Bible. And I got condemned about I wasted an hour. You know what? When you get into performance, you could always do better. You'll never do perfect. And the moment you get to saying, but God, I've done this, this, and this, you've done something wrong. And your own conscience will condemn you. And this is what it's talking about. You got to have your conscience purged from these dead works so that you can serve the living God. And most people, it's in this area of the conscience because we believe that every time we sin, every time we're less, whether it's open sin where you're rebelling at God or whether it's just that you fail to be perfect in everything that you should be. We go around with a constant state of condemnation and sin consciousness. And because of that, we can't serve the living God because our conscience hasn't been purged. Religion is keeping us sin conscious. It's keeping us under a sin awareness that limits God. It makes the word of God about salvation of none effect. We think we were only saved from our old sins. We don't understand we've been saved from even sins that we hadn't committed yet. Sin has been obliterated. It's not an issue with God anymore. Man, that's nearly too good to be true. In verse 15, it says, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the remission or the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. In verse 12, it talks about eternal redemption, not momentary redemption till the next time you sin. Eternal redemption. Eternal forgiveness of sins. Now it talks about eternal inheritance. Again, there is a large segment of the body of Christ that believe that they only have inheritance with God as long as they still live holy and do everything right. And if they do blow it, they got to confess that sin and get born again. They are backslidden and they would die and go to hell. They could have lived with God, walked with God and have loved him with all of their heart for 20 years. But if you do one thing wrong and don't get it confessed, and have a car wreck before you get it confessed, you die and go to hell. That's not eternal inheritance. Man, I know that there's a lot of you that are swallowing hard trying to get this down. But this is what the Word says. Well, this isn't what I've been taught. Well, then what you've been taught's wrong. You're free to believe it, but I'm not going to agree with you. We'd both be wrong. Amen. I'm not going to take time to read all of this, but let me just point out a couple of verses in the 9th chapter. It just keeps saying this over and over. 5 times it talks about one sacrifice, eternal redemption, eternal inheritance, one time. It just keeps making this point over and over and over. It's amazing how many times it says it. Down here in, let's look in verse 24. It says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often," as most churches teach, "as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others." It says that he shouldn't have to offer himself often. One sacrifice dealt with all of your sin. In verse 26 it says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." See, it's making a contrast. Under the Old Testament, every time you sinned, there had to be an atonement for sin. You had to confess it. You had to make a new sacrifice. And then there was a day of atonement where you just dealt with all of the sins that hadn't been confessed and all of the sins of omission and all of the sins that you weren't even aware of. There was a constant flowing of blood. In Solomon's day, he killed over 30,000 animals in one day to make sacrifices. There was constant flowing of blood and stuff. But he's saying, in contrast to that, the opposite of the way it was done in the old covenant, Jesus only appeared once. If it hadn't have been just once, he would have had to have offered himself often. He would have to constantly be shedding his blood and reapplying his blood. But no, now he's appeared once in the end of the world. Has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That's at least 4 or 5 times in just a few verses that he says one sacrifice dealt with all sins, eternal redemption, eternal inheritance, one sacrifice for all sins, for all times. It's over. It's done. Sin is not the issue. Radical truth. And let me say, even those that haven't accepted Jesus, it's not your individual sins that's the issue, because Jesus paid for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, he is the propitiation. That means the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, talking to Christians, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus not only paid for Christians' sins, people who he knew would be born again, he has paid for the sins of the whole world. It is not individual sins of lying, stealing, adultery that is sending people to hell. It says over in John chapter 16, verse 8, it says that when he is come, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And God knew that people wouldn't understand this. And so in the next verse, he explained, which sin? Of sin, because they believe not on me. The sin that the Holy Spirit is reproving people over is not believing on Jesus. Not the fact that you're drunk, not the fact that you smoke, not the fact that you did this, but the fact that you aren't believing on Jesus. There's just one sin that sends people to hell. All the other sins have been atoned for. It's the rejection of Jesus that sends people to hell. And the fact that they're out here doping and doing all of this, this is just an indication that they haven't yet received Jesus. It shows you that they aren't trusting in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is going to be drawing them all back to trusting in Jesus. Boy, that is so radical. And yet that's what the Bible says. He's going to convict of sin. And then in the very next verse, what's the sin? Of sin, because they believe not on me. That's the sin that the Holy Spirit is convicting people of. And he convicts even Christians of that. You can be born again and have your sins forgiven, and yet you aren't trusting in him. When you go get drunk, you know what the real root of the problem with drunkenness is? It's not that you're going to get cirrhosis of the liver. It's not that you're wasting your money. It's not that you could have a car wreck and kill somebody. All of those things are consequences, and those are all reasons not to do it. But look at it this way. What's wrong with homosexuality? Well, people say you could get AIDS. And they talk about all of these things. And they talk about that the statistics among homosexuals are, you know, 10 times as many people commit suicide and the depression and stuff. And you can talk about it from all of these external reasons. But what would happen if all of a sudden they came up with the cure for AIDS? So that you just take a pill and you'll never have AIDS again. The way that the church has been lobbying and reasoning with people not to commit sin is based on all of these external things. But the root cause of all sin is that, you know what? You aren't trusting God. You aren't believing. God made them Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That was God's plan. And you're exalting your own deal, and you aren't listening to God, and you aren't following His direction. You think your way is better. That's the root cause. That's what is wrong. What's wrong with people who are taking drugs and getting drunk? It's the fact that you are so miserable that the way you're coping is to trust in a pill instead of the gospel. Amen. You ought to be turning to God. You ought to be casting your cares over on the Lord. But no, you aren't trusting God. So even Christians can be convicted about not trusting in Him. But a non-Christian, it's not all these individual acts of sin. It's just the fact that you haven't made Jesus your Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit is convicting people about. And if you don't accept Jesus, He's the one that all of your forgiveness is bound up in Jesus. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, you may be a better sinner than I am, but you'll go to hell for the sin of rejecting Jesus. And see, this also answers some other questions. People who think that you're going to be punished in hell because of all of the things that you did, they think, well, this doesn't seem fair. This person may not have accepted Jesus. They may not have believed on Jesus, but they were a good person. They did good things. They never murdered. They never killed. They stayed with the same mate, and they did this and this, and it doesn't seem fair that they're going to be there and punished along with Hitler and other people who did terrible things.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on killing sacred cows. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1063C or DVD series R3207D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK160 titled God's View of Sin when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to come out and participate in one of our Gospel Truth Seminars. I know sometimes people who listen on the radio think, well, I've already heard what you've got to say, but it's just totally different when you get into a meeting and we develop an atmosphere of faith and we have Bible college students and people there praying, and we see a lot of miracles happen. And I go out an hour before every service. I'm usually one of the last ones to leave. There's a lot of ministry that takes place, and I tell you, it would be a tremendous blessing to you. It's quite different than just our radio programs. So check our listings and come visit us at one of our Gospel Truth Seminars.